Hello there. Welcome to today's podcast with Pastor Bless Donkor. I hope you'll be blessed. Stay tuned.
Be ready for the word of God. Okay, time is fast spent. We want to move quickly into today's message. Still on the topic of anointing, and as our custom is, we want to read our anchor scriptures. And I would want to read them in the Amplified Version. Luke chapter 4, verse 14 to 24 will be our first reading. Luke chapter 4, the verse 14 to 24. Alright, good. Then Jesus went back full of and under the power of the Holy Spirit into Galilee, and the fame of him spread throughout the whole region round about. And he himself conducted a course of teaching in their synagogues, being recognized and honored and praised by all. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and he entered the synagogue as was his custom and the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. This way, synagogue bring to mind Apostle Solomon, Suleiman. That men of God must study, and then one time a pastor was preaching, he saw this was a synagogue. So the reason why education is important in ministry is because you don't end up saying synagogue. Hallelujah. Are we there? And there was handed to him the roll of the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened, unrolled the book, and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me, the anointed one, the Messiah, to preach the good news, the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to announce release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity." That's why I like Amplified, the boastful version. Let's continue. "To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound. Then he rolled up the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were gazing attentively at him. And he began to speak to them, 'Today these scriptures has been fulfilled while ye are present and hearing.'" For time's sake, let's end it here. Hallelujah. Second reading, Ephesians chapter 4, 11 to 13. Our second reading, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And his gifts were varied. He himself appointed and gave men to act, some to be apostles, special messengers, some prophets, inspired preachers and expounders, some evangelists, preachers of the gospel, traveling missionaries, some pastors, shepherd of his flock, and teachers. His intention was the perfecting and the full equipping of saints, his consecrated people, that they should do the work of ministering toward building up Christ's body, the church, that it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really matured manhood, the completeness of the personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. I hope you are following. They are not lost. All right. Where are we? Perfection, right? The measure of the stature of the fullness of the Christ and the completeness found in him. Hallelujah. And the completeness found in him. Now let's take our last reading that we are all going to read together. John chapter 3 verse 34. John chapter 3 verse 34. Are you ready? Now this one, we read it in the King James Version. So we're going to read this in the King James Version. God. Are you ready? Church, together. For he whom God hath sent speaketh words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. Again. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. It pleases the Lord that we should continue in the matters of Art Thou Anointed as our beginning series for the year, and our first sub-series, which we have started titled Concerning the Anointing, is still what we are looking at, with today's topic being the Spirit without measure. The Spirit without measure. And today's topic, or today's lesson, is to focus on Christ the Anointed and the implication of that anointing on the believer. From last week's message, we established that for the interest of God with regards to the administration of his effects on earth, or the management of the earth with his intention to which he created the earth, can be fulfilled, the threefold office, which is the office of the priest, the office of the king, and the office of the prophet, must be in function. However, we also notice that for these offices to be in function, the person in whom these offices is being given to must be anointed. Do we remember that? So we found out that the people of Israel, when God called them into this office, he called them as what? Anointed. And we find out that even Lucifer, who was called then as what? The anointed cherub, was called anointed cherub as a result of him operating in these three offices. So for you to manage the affairs of this earth, it requires that you must have the capacity to work in these three offices. And we found out that in the Old Testament, there is only one unique man who was able to work in that capacity in demonstrating the dominion mandate of God on this earth, and his name was what? David. And we find out that the reason why David was able to work in that capacity was because in Psalms 89 verse 20, the Bible said, David have I found, or David my servant have I found, and with my holy oil have I anointed him. So it was God who anointed David, and because the anointing was not men anointing David, although in all his references from Samuel to the people of Judah to the Israelite anointing him in these three stages, it all summed up into one recognition as the holy oil of God touching him. So we agree that if we want to live the life of dominion, the office of dominion, then a holy oil must fall on us. But today we are looking at a different concept over here. So in conclusion, from last week, we conclude that whoever is sent by God or is chosen by God as his representative on this earth to administrate the affairs of the earth needs anointing. Very important. Needs what? Anointing. Irrespective. And as we continue in this lesson of anointing, you will find out that it is not only God who anoints, the devil to anoint. The whole point is that nobody can dominate this earth realm without anointing. Now, when we talk about anointing, as we move on, we're going to find out what anointing is and why I said the devil can also anoint you. If you remember in our previous lessons, when we were looking at the subject matter of the communion with the Holy Spirit, we came to a point where, when I was talking about the ministry of the Holy, or the manifestations of the Spirit, I said that anything supernatural, the devil can do, except God resisting. And to do supernatural, then something super must come upon you, on the natural. So anything supernatural, the devil and his agent can do them. And Moses was a victim of that circumstance. Moses thought he was so anointed because he met God. When they want to prove something to Pharaoh, and let his rod on the floor, the Bible said the rod turned into snake. Then Pharaoh said, look at this boy. You think this thing you are doing here, we don't have the capacity to do it. So he called his magicians, and he also did the same. Not only that, when Moses called flies, they called. To the point that he turned water, the river, to blood, and said, this one, it is God. We can't do this one. Because God started resisting them. So if God has not resisted the magicians of Pharaoh, they would have contested Moses to the end, even splitting the water. Why? Because anything supernatural, the devil can do it. That is why you should be very careful why you are so attracted to the supernatural. We'll get that in the course of the anointing. We're going to look at that part where we must know the source of the anointing. Because the devil too can equally what? Anoint people. Demonic anointing is real. Yeah, demonic anointing. And they can use it to do good things. Haven't you heard stories where people say they are witches, but they don't use it to... are you following? They use it to protect. Yeah. So not all witches and wizards that feed on flesh. Some believe that it is needed as a means of protection. Are you with me? Are you with me? So everybody who acts in the... who seek to dominate or have dominion over this earth realm cannot do that without anointing. And Jesus is not an exception, because Jesus came to this earth to exemplify God's original intent and mandate for man to dominate. Hallelujah. So concerning anointing and why we need to talk about Jesus is because, first of all, in the matter of anointing, Jesus is the only person who by his natural genealogy he was called Christ, and by his spiritual genealogy he was called Christ. Let's look at some scriptures to explain what I'm saying. Matthew chapter 1 verse 16. Now here we are looking at the earth genealogy. Please change the begat and find me a better version, I beg you. Now that you have a good, give me a, I don't want trouble for myself today. Hallelujah. This begat and okay. Jacob, the father of what? Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called what? The Christ, the Messiah, the what? Anointed. Why is this very relevant? Naming or names are not just nomenclature, as I've already told you, but they carry or they stand to represent who the person is. Now, if you look at the naming system of the people of Israel, you take up the name of your father. So natural genealogy, we are looking at the bloodline where Jesus is coming from. But when they started doing it and they got to Joseph and it was the turn of Jesus, they added out the anointed. It's very, that makes it very interesting for us to look at it. Because this was part of his name, and he must be called so. So you cannot change it. So yes, David, the son of what? Jesse. This is the son of this. But when he got to Jesus, the son of Joseph, Christ the anointed. It means that it is an identity he came with, a name that cannot be separated from him. So his natural genealogy, he was called the anointed. So if somebody by natural genealogy is called anointed, it means that the concept anointing, you cannot do without such a person. Can we continue? Number two, his spiritual genealogy, which it was Apostle Peter who was able to get that revelation. Matthew chapter 16 verse 16. Now, Jesus started quizzing or setting some questions for his disciples to find out if they have true identification of him. Then he said that, what do men say that I, the son of man, I am? Then the disciples were giving out their own answers. Some said, oh, you are the prophet. Some said, you are this and that. And Jesus said, what do you say I am? Then Peter, by revelation, caught his spiritual genealogy. What did he say? Simon Peter replied, you are the what? The Christ. Not a Christ. What? The Christ. The son of who? The living God. This is a spiritual genealogy. So not only was Christ called as a natural genealogy, his name, but in the spiritual genealogy, his name is also what? Christ. And the source of his spiritual genealogy was revealed. The son of who? The living God. So in both sides of Jesus' life, you cannot talk about anointing without looking at Jesus, because naturally he was called anointed. Spiritually, this is who he is. Are you with me? So the topic of anointing is much centered on the life of Jesus. So you follow me. Now, the name or the title of Jesus is connected to the reason for which he came on earth. The reason why he was called the anointed, or his name anointed, is because he was sent to do something that needs an anointing, or the anointed can only do. And we found out that he was sent by the Father to bring redemption to humanity and creation. I can give you a lot of scriptures, but because of time, you can't read all of them. Let's read the book of 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 to 10. Then you can write down Galatians chapter 4 verse 4 to 5 for your further reading when you go home. 1 John chapter 4 verse 9 to 10. So the purposes of the anointing, or not the purposes, the reason why it's called anointed, because he was sent and there was an assignment, a mandate, and the revelation of the mandate is this. In this, the love of God was made manifest, displayed where we are concerned, in that God sent who? His son, the only begotten or unique son, into the world so that we might live through him. That we might what? Live through him. So the begotten Son was sent that we might what? Live through him. Second, Luke chapter 4, verse 43. Also to establish the kingdom of God. Not only to redeem humanity and creation, he also came to what? Establish the kingdom of God. But he said to them, I must preach the good news, the gospel of the kingdom of God to the other cities and towns also, for I was sent for what? This purpose. Are we all there? Are you with me? So we are talking about Christ, the anointed. And we see why the spirit without measure is connected to us. Okay. So we find out that Jesus had a mandate, had assignment. And we find out that whoever God gave assignment as far as this earth is concerned, the person needed to be what? Anointed. But this Jesus is a very unique person. Now let's move on. Inasmuch as this assignment was a very delicate and important, Jesus also, as any other person God sent to administrate his matters on earth, needed anointing and has to wait for the anointing to come on him before he started his assignment. Even though by genealogy, are you following me? By genealogy, he is called the anointed. But the natural and the spiritual genealogy was called the anointed, or he is the anointed. Jesus has to wait for what? The anointing to come upon him before he started his what? Assignment. Scriptures give us a lot of examples of when Jesus started his ministry after the anointing. First, his first preaching was done after he was anointed. Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. In Matthew chapter 3, we find out that when he went into the water, he was baptized. The Holy Ghost came upon him. And then in Matthew chapter 4, he went to the desert for 40 days, 40 nights, and he was tempted. And from that place, the Bible said he began to what? To preach. He began to what? To preach. So Jesus, for over 29 years, never preached until the anointing came on him when he was 30. Then after that, he started what? Preaching. Although the assignment is very delicate, he needed to wait for the anointing. I want you to follow me. Number two, his first teaching was done after he was anointed. Luke chapter 4 verse 14 to 15. You find out that before Jesus started teaching, he was anointed. Number three, his first miracle, John chapter 2 verse 11, turning water into wine, was produced as a result of when he was anointed. You find out, let's read that scripture. These, the first of his signs, miracles, wonder works, Jesus performed in Canaan of Galilee and manifested his glory. By it, he displayed his greatness and his what? Power openly. And his disciples what? Believed in him, adhered to, trusted in, and relied on him. But we know that before Jesus called his disciples, he was what? Already been baptized and anointed. So the first miracle of Jesus. So anything that concerns the assignment of Jesus on earth, even though he was called the anointed, even though he is the anointed by naming, he still waited for the anointing to come upon. What am I trying to say? What I'm trying to build here, that even though we identified with the anointing, we have the potentials of the anointing, we have what it takes to have the anointing, we need to wait for the anointing to come on us before we can start whatever mandate God has given us. It is not enough to be called anointed. You need to be what? Anointed. That's what Jesus said. That you can be called anointed and you can do nothing until the anointing what? Comes upon you. Now, let's move into the matters of anointing. Now, if you look into the Bible, you find out that the New Testament folks or the people who walked with Jesus confessed that he was anointed. So not only did he claim he was anointed, the people around him saw him as what? Anointed. Saw him as what? Anointed. Can we take some few readings? John chapter 4 verse 29. Come see a man who has told me everything that I ever did. Can this be? Is not this the Christ? Must not this be the Messiah? The what? Anointed one. So when the woman saw the prophetic dimension of Jesus' ministry, she said, now this one is the anointed one. In Acts chapter 10 verse 38, a very popular scripture we all know, Peter, in his teachings about Jesus, said that how God has anointed Jesus Christ with what? The Holy Ghost and with power. Do you know the most interesting thing about this? Even demons called him the anointed. That is why you can't study the concept of anointing without Jesus. Demons confess that he was anointed. Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. Luke chapter 4. So there is no way we can talk about the concept of anointing without not talking about Jesus. Because not only humans who confess his anointing, even demons, spirits recognize that he's the anointed. So he came to Nazareth. That's Nazareth where he had been brought up. Is it the same place we are? Luke chapter 16, 4 verse 16. Okay, yeah. Where he had been brought up and he entered the synagogue. No, this is not the scripture I was looking for. Sorry, Luke chapter 4 verse 41. Luke chapter 4 verse 41. And demons even came out of many people screaming and crying out, "You are the Son of God." Not only that, but he rebuked them and would not permit them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Demons. So, not only the demons were coming out, the demons were coming out with confession. Ah, Jesus is powerful. The demons were not just coming out. They were coming out with testimony. That this man. You see, it was not only Jesus. Let me show you. When anointing comes upon man, spirit recognize. In the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 16, the Bible said there was this lady who was possessed by an evil spirit that the owners used her for means of gains. And the moment he set his eyes on Silas and Paul, he said, "These ones are anointed. Follow them." See, when you are anointed, demons know. They can't shut up. They'll say it. Even though, you see, and the reason that it is not demons who are supposed to confess who we are. So we have to shut them up. So you see that Paul casted that spirit out. So if you said you are anointed, even demons, they know what anointing is. Let us not be tickling ourselves that, oh, see, that's what I said last time. Anointing is not when people fall on that. You lay hands on when they follow. That's not anointing. Don't be deceived. Are you with me? Okay. So we found out that people, even spirit, confessed that he was anointed. But there's something interesting that he himself admitted he was what? Anointed. Which is our first reading that we made in Luke chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. We found out when he went to the synagogue, he took the book of Isaiah and read in verse 21. He said that whatever I've read today, it starts now. What did he say? He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has what? Anointed me." So Jesus himself confessed, the Son of God, or God in the man form, confessed that he was anointed. Now, this admission of him having to rely on the anointing to accomplish the assignment given to him is a big matter for us and his personality to consider. Now, follow me very well. When men were saying that he was anointed, it was not an issue. But when Jesus himself confessed that I needed the anointing for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, has anointed me, it was a very big topic to consider. Why? Because his personality is that he is God or the Son of God. So the question is, why would God or the Son of God need to be anointed like any other person before he can do what he has to do? Now, here is the case. Jesus is God or sent as the Son of God. He is not one of us in by nature of the seed of Adam. So technically, people will believe that because he is already who he is, it was very easy for him to do things without anointing. But Jesus said, no, I needed to be anointed. I needed anointing like every other person. So the question is, why would Jesus need anointing? How can he defend the reason that he not being God or the Son of God, the only begotten, is an advantage for him to do what he's doing than other mere people who are anointed? We cannot argue that Elijah was not anointed and he had an advantage because he was just man like us. In the book of James chapter 5, it said Elijah was a man subject to life passing like us. Do you understand? And he prayed and this happened. So we can agree. But this is the Son of God. This is God living among men. And he's saying that he needs to be anointed. Now that topic, do you agree with me? See, the reason why I'm saying is because many people think that what Jesus did, we cannot do. Because it's peculiar. But that's not the truth. Are you following me? Do you know that many believers cannot accept that they can raise the dead? They know that it is reserved for only Jesus because he's the Son of God. That's why we are talking about the spirit without measure. I'm going to explain to you. But Jesus said, no. In the public gathering, whilst he was reading this, he said, I also have been what? Anointed. Why was this so relevant? This is because as long as he was on earth, he never used his divine powers and authority by his nature as God to do anything, because he forfeited it. In the book of Philippians chapter 2 verse 5 to 7. Most of you didn't know. The moment Jesus accepted the assignment, the first thing he lost was that he forfeited the ability to use his divine nature. Do you remember that there was a time that when Jesus was arrested and the disciples wanted to act, he said, you guys, you should stop this. If I want to deal with these people, I have thousands of angels that at a split of second, they will deal with all of them. Do you know what he was trying to tell them? That my potentials as me have forfeited it. So listen to what the Bible says. It said, let this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let him be your example in humility. Now let's look at his humility. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, are you following? Possessing the fullness of the attribute which make God God, did not think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained. Let's move on. But stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a servant, into brackets, slave, very important one, in that he became like what? Man. That is the highest form of degrading yourself. The reason why Jesus, what he did, we can do, is because when he came on earth, he never operated in his God nature. He, Bible said, he forfeited all his rights and privileges. He didn't see it as something that cannot be lost. You see, the price that Jesus paid was not only what happened to him on the cross, but to what? Forfeit his full divine nature and be subjected to the life passion of man and be so vulnerable like any ordinary man. Have you been in that state before? The Nigerian movie actors are the ones who can really tell this story. You see that billionaire being a gate man. And have you, those of you have been following those Nigerian movies, are so funny. That is a typical picture. Someone who have all it takes forfeited it so that he can assume a different identity. And because he has assumed that identity, he has forfeited every right to use who he is. And has to rely on the anointing. In other words, whatever was upon Jesus and whatever happened to Jesus in terms of his ministry life is not far from any mere human being. Whatever, every human being can do it. So if Jesus raised the dead, you can do it. If Jesus healed the sick, you can do it. If Jesus was never defeated, you see, we are going to see how, if Jesus, the reason is, there is a principle we have not come to understand in connection to the anointing that Jesus gave us. The anointing that Jesus set in action is not a common one. The problem is that, number one, our ignorance to understand that the man did everything as any man. Are thou anointed? There's a dimension I pray that we will come to understand that whatever Jesus didn't suffer as man, we cannot suffer it. So he forfeited it. That is why he needed to be what? Anointed like any other man to accomplish the task upon his head. Jesus never used it. If he had used his God nature, like the day he was born, he would have died that day, finished everything and left. The man, see, he went through a lot too. 30 good years of forfeiting, 33 years of forfeiting who you are. And living like ordinary man, subjected to hunger, sleep. Oh. That is why you see that Jesus had a strong relationship with God, because he saw so how vulnerable he is that without God, so I would say in the days of him in flesh, he cried unto him that is able to save him, and he was hurt because the man was so vulnerable. Demons saw this Jesus that they knew. He said, ah, is that you? We can touch you. Ah, he has come into our territory. We can deal with him. Spirit saw him. Ah, wait.
are you doing here? Okay, we can kill him. Let's turn the minds of these people and deal with this man. You see how vulnerable we came, that even the devil could have the audacity to think that he can keep him in the grave. That's how vulnerable Jesus became. So that the Bible said, for death could not hold him captive. No, do you know that death believed that the vulnerability of Jesus letting go of his divine nature was so easy for them that they could dare that they would keep him. When he went into the grave, he died as man, no? And went to the grave. Not God went into the grave. So when he got there, they saw, you have come here without all that your nature not here. Then we can keep you. But the Bible said, death. That is why anything that is called death cannot hold you captive. Because of the anointing. The spirit without measure. Can I continue? Now, the context of Jesus' anointing is very interesting to you. Look at. Though Jesus was anointed like any other man God used on this earth, the anointing Jesus walked in is not comparable to any man before or after him. Such that when John the Baptist was describing the anointing, the weight of the anointing on Jesus, he said, it is the spirit without what? Measure. Unlimited move of the Holy Spirit on the life of that man. And I'm going to tell the reason why Jesus was the only person who was able to minister fully the anointing for humanity, and how we can also have that spirit without measure. Are you with me? So in John chapter 3 verse 34, our last reading, it was John the Baptist's testimony. He was talking about Jesus, and then he got to a point, he's trying to let them know the kind of man they are dealing with. And this is what he said: for since whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, proclaim God's own message, God does not give him his spirit sparingly or by measure, but boundless in the gifts God makes of his what? His spirit. There was no limit. I'll explain. So follow me. Now, the spirit over here, in context of what we are talking about, is not different from the concept anointing. Now, if you study the Bible very well, find out that the spirit and anointing are used interchangeably. Why? Let me explain. When it comes to the power and the presence of God, the reason why the spirit and anointing is used interchangeably is because of what? The power and the presence of God. Now, how do they relate? When it comes to the power and the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit is the source of God's power and the presence. The Holy Spirit is the source of God's power and what? Presence. Anytime the power of God will manifest, it is the Holy Spirit who is responsible for that. Anytime we talk about the presence of God, are you with me? It's the Spirit. When God's presence manifests here, it's spiritual. When Ezekiel saw God, it was not a physical thing. You didn't know he was among people sitting by the earth as captive. You are sitting there, and then God manifests in the book of Ezekiel chapter 1. And the things Ezekiel was seeing, other people were there, they couldn't see. The manifestation of God is spiritual, is the spirit dimension. Why? Because the Bible said, for God is spirit. Are you with me? God is what? Is spirit. So whenever we talk about the spirit, it talks about the presence and the power of God. And anointing simply means, why the spirit and anointing are interchangeably used, because the word anointing simply means the power and the presence of God manifesting in the life of an individual or at a place. So what, I'll come to the concept of anointing. I don't want to really talk. So when we talk about anointing, all this I've been saying, anointing is the power and the presence manifesting in the life of an individual or at a place. So when we see the power of God at work, it is anointing. When we see the presence of God working, it is what? Anointing. So when you see the manifestation, so the power of God is there, the presence of God is there, but when we begin to see the manifestations of it, then that is what? Anointing. So the spirit without measure also can be said that the anointing without measure.
Now, the Spirit of God in the Old Testament was often given to people. The Spirit of God came upon people. Do you know the Spirit of God came upon Saul? Have you ever read that? Do you know the Spirit of God came upon David? The Spirit of God came upon Elijah. But whenever the Spirit of God comes upon them, including Samson, it has a limited lifespan. Do you know that? You know that Samson will be asleep and they'll tap him. That your enemies are coming, he will wake up. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of God came upon him. But the moment he's with Delilah on her last, the Spirit of God is gone. It's gone. So the Spirit of God came upon them for a limited, for a certain task and for a limited. That's why they were vulnerable men. Could you imagine that if the Spirit of God was upon David, would have seen Bathsheba? Are you with me now? So they were so vulnerable because the Spirit of God, when it comes upon them, it was for a specific time. So you see that the anointing, when there's a task, it comes. When there's no task, they become mere men, vulnerable like any other person. That's why you say man of God. You should separate the man from what? As you see me here, the anointing is working. When I get home, it's a different thing. So you don't marry the anointing. You marry the person. You have to separate me from anointing. What I'm doing here, it is the work of the anointing. It is not... No. But the anointing at work here. Are you following me? So, but with Jesus, it was not so. The Spirit of God, from the day it descended as a dove and rested on Jesus, never left him. So he had a full access 24/7. 24/7, the Spirit of God rested on this man. The Spirit without measure. And the full capacity to what the Spirit can do was seen in the life of Jesus, that he was the only person and the only person who operated in the five offices of the church. The five offices. Jesus is the only man because of the fullness of the Spirit resting on him. Operated in the fivefold offices. Nobody can do that. And nobody has done that yet. It's only him who can do that. And I'm leading to a point. Now, let me give you, maybe you said you didn't see it in the Bible. Let me give you where these things are. Number one, he was an apostle, or he operated as apostle. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1. He was a prophet. He himself said it. A prophet has not honor in his own hometown, which is very true. Luke chapter 4 verse 24. No matter how anointed you are, your brother can look at you and tell you his peace of mind. Anointing is not in the house. It's on those people there. He was a teacher. John chapter 3 verse 1 to 2. Nicodemus came to you and said, you are a teacher that we've not seen something before. You are not that common teacher. He was an evangelist. Luke chapter 4 verse 18. He was a pastor. John 10 verse 14, the good shepherd. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 4, the Bible calls him the chief shepherd. Only him could exhibit these fivefold offices. Why? Because he had the Spirit without measure. Are you following me? Now, where I'm leading you to is simply the corporate anointing. So follow me very well. You will see that it is in the corporate anointing that the Holy Spirit can never be limited. Last week, I spoke about anointing that comes on you individually, dominion anointing. But there's a point where that dominion anointing cannot take you to. Corporate anointing operate under the Spirit without measure. Follow me. As you are here, the Spirit is upon you by measure. But there is a system where God has created that we can operate without measure. That is the corporate anointing. Are you with me? Good. Now, the Spirit was given without measure, which is all powers and authority, as it pleased the Father, that in him should all fullness what? Dwell. Colossians chapter 1 verse 19. This is one of the powerful scriptures. Colossians 1:19. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, which is the representation of the Holy Spirit, the same daughter of the divine perfection, powers and what? Attribute, should dwell in him what? Permanently. Why? I'm going to give you four reasons. And one of the reasons is where the corporate anointing is connected to. The spirit without. So even though I'm talking about Jesus as an example and as a perfect teaching about the concept anointing, there's an aspect that we have to understand, that the spirit that came upon Jesus without measure is not limited or didn't go with Jesus. The anointing, it became a system which God gave us opportunity to harness. And that is called the corporate anointing. Can we move on? This fullness is revealed in four dimensions. Number one, it was revealed in his supremacy over all things as the one who all things are made by him and for him. The reason why Jesus had the spirit without measure was to establish his supremacy over all things. In Colossians chapter 1, the verse 16 and 17 said, for all things were created by him, for him, to him, all the hymns are over there. Can we read all the hymns over there? That's one of the scriptures that have all the hymns. Can we read all the hymns? For it was in what? In him, the first hymn, that all things were created in heaven and on earth, things seen and things unseen, whether thrones, dominions, rulers, or authorities, all things were created, existed throughout him, by his service, intervention, and in all for what? Him. So I said it is what? The him. Let's move on. Verse 17. And he himself existed before all things, and in him all things consist. Cohere and held together. The reason why the anointing was given to him when he came on earth among his creation is because he has to establish his supremacy, that everything belongs to him. And because of that, there are certain things he did that was not common to men. Number one, he was the first person to cast out demons. Do you read Luke chapter 4 verse 41 with me? He said, and demons started screaming. Do you know why? Because even unseen spirits were subjected to him. If Jesus had the spirit with measure, demons wouldn't have responded to him, because salvation had not then come. You see, the authority of Jesus would have been limited because the powers of the enemy were not taken. But the anointing that came upon Jesus, do you know that no person ever casted a demon out until Jesus came? Spirit started responding to him. He commands them and they are moving. His supremacy was so established that he could forgive sin, and people didn't understand it. Even though he didn't die, he was forgiving sin. And he was still man. Why? The anointing upon him was establishing to everybody that, see, the person here you are dealing with, the anointing he's operating with is an unlimited anointing. That because it establishes supremacy. So Jesus, even though every other person was anointed, his anointing was peculiar. So when John saw the weight of the anointing on this man, he said, this is the spirit without what? Measure. And because of that, I cannot even unlace his foot. So demons were responding to this anointing. One day on the sea. Oh, Vanda Cabra Siata. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. We're going to read it. A storm rose. You give me the verse 41 and listen to what people said. And he was in a boat with them. And the storm said, today I am hungry. The demons in that place, there's all full it. Said, oh, let us take some life. Unfortunately, they didn't know that the one with the supremacy was in that boat. The anointing on that man cannot be swallowed. You vomited. So the Bible said they went and woke him up. Say, where it has gotten to, maybe with you, they will listen to you. Or come and do something about it. Maybe you know how to go, can vanish our boat. Jesus didn't do that. He said, be still. He commanded the storm to be still. And in verse 41, what was the people with him? What did they say? And they were filled with great ill and not fear exceedingly, and said one to another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obeyed him? Do you know why? He had the spirit without measure, establishing his supremacy, telling them that all things are made by me,
they are for me, and whatever the him you can talk about, it is him. So Jesus could not have anointing with what? With a measure, because it has to establish his supremacy. Number two, his divine origin as the only begotten son who came from the Father. The supremacy, the anointing without measure, or the spirit without measure, also was to reveal that he's originated from the Father. It says that even demons confessed it. The reason why people saw Jesus so anointed and peculiar was because the anointing was pointing to something, that this one is from God. And Nicodemus came to him and said, this thing you are doing. Let's read it. John chapter 3 verse 1. Nicodemus was one of the teachers and the leaders of the time. When he saw what Jesus was doing, nothing could convince him that this person originates from a different place. Because they have seen anointings. They have seen anointings. They have seen moves of God. They have seen things happening. They have read stories. He's a scribe. He has read in the Bible how the anointing has worked on the life of people. And extra biblical doctrinal materials. They have read all. But when he saw what Jesus was doing, this man had a testimony. He said, now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler, a leader, and an authority among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night and said to him, Rabbi, which is teacher, we know and are certain that you have come from who? God. Why? He's the anointing. You see, even though we can all be born by the same Father, when certain things touch you, your people that you are born with will begin to look and say, no. Are you sure it's our Father who gave birth to you? There are some people, there is an anointing coming upon you, that the place of origin, the people you are with together, they will see that, no, something, this guy, no, we are not the same. Even though I, Nicodemus, I'm a teacher of the word, I am a teacher, but you, your source is different. So I am here. See, the reason why he came Nicodemusly at night was because he wanted to know the secret of that man, so that he can do equally what he has to do. Jesus called him, said, no one can see the kingdom until you are out born again. I pray for you. The spirit without measure. This year, even in your office, you see, I laughed when you called me and told me that they said they want to sack them. What did I say? I said, the Lord knows what he says. That was the statement I made. I said, the Lord knows those who are hot. Yes. That's what I said to him. And you know, I made that statement. They can sack everybody. Be careful to sack the anointed. For some of you, you are the reason why the company is moving. They know. So if you ask permission, you can go. Another person will go and say, you can go. Elder Blaze, you can go and ask permission. Matron say, you can go. When you go, Osofu, pray for me. Other colleagues will go and say, no, you can go. The difference is anointing. I pray for you. See, we originate from the Father. The Bible said, for we are also born of God. He said, as men that has believed on him, to them he has given the power to be called the sons of God. See, even though naturally Jesus was traced, that's why I use the word, his genealogy had a natural and not a spiritual genealogy. But you found out that people begin to see the anointing on his life, not because it was by his natural genealogy or called Christ, but he was Christ, the Son of the living God. I pray for you, and I declare in the name of Jesus that we do not only have a natural genealogy, we have a spiritual genealogy, and that spiritual genealogy is connected to a man called God. And how he separates us is that he anoints us, and the things we begin to do, others cannot do, to the point they admit that there's a supremacy working in our life. The spirit without measure. I cannot be an ordinary preacher. I cannot be an ordinary accountant. I cannot be an ordinary medical doctor. I cannot. Because the spirit without measure, that anointing that is captivated in the spirit upon the church, gives me the right to seclude myself. And there is a way I can show that I originate with a supremacy of God by my spiritual genealogy. Everybody can be rejected. Me, you can't reject me. Last time I made a statement to Becky, I told her that, which other protocol is bigger than the protocol of God? Do you remember that statement? He was looking for opportunity at somewhere. He said, the place, it is protocol, big names. I said, madam, write your letter. Let's see which other protocol is bigger than the protocol of Jesus. Are you not there? They are even planning to keep her. I said we will be anointed. Number three, the authority of Jesus' mission and message as the one who is sent by God as his representative to bring the message of salvation and eternal life to humanity must be established by the anointing. So he was given the anointing without measure. And when he started teaching, people said, who is this who talk with authority like that? People recognized the authority by which he was teaching, not because he was shouting and screaming, but because the words that were coming were a message of authority, a man endorsed by God. Let's read the scripture. Luke chapter 4, verse 40 to 41. No, sorry. It's Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29. Let's read that scripture quickly. Matthew 7, 28. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the Sermon on the Mount, the crowds were astonished and overwhelmed with bewildered wonder at his teaching. Verse 29. For he was teaching as one who had and was authority and not as did the scribes. You see the difference? Do you know why? Not that the scribes didn't have the mandate to teach the word of God, but God has to give Jesus the anointing without measure to establish that what is coming from him originates from me. So the message of eternity, the reason why people's hearts were broken and shattered and they begin to draw close to Jesus was not because of the words, it was because of the authority, which is the anointing. It is the same thing that you will talk to somebody, you just say a few words and the person's life will never be the same again. Demonically, the devil can send somebody to give you one advice and that is the end of your life. The person was anointed to come. So God established the authority of Jesus. Now, third factor, let me move on. The fourth one that is of concern and that speaks about the corporate anointing is this. That the Spirit was given to Jesus without measure for the church which was born out of him to administer the earth in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. So in Matthew chapter 28 verse 18, after Jesus had died and rose up, he said that all authority has been given unto me, so therefore what? Go. Now I like this scripture very well. John chapter 20 verse 21 to 23. John chapter 20, Apostle John chapter 20 verse 21. Then Jesus said to them again, peace to you, just as, are you following? The Father has sent me forth, so I am sending you. How can you send the church on the same mandate that the Father has sent you without the Spirit given to us without measure? Are you with me? Most times we think that it is only Jesus who had the Spirit without measure. Individually, we have it with measure, but corporately, we don't have it with measure. Because he sent the church to continue in the assignment the Father sent him. And when the Father sent him, the nature of the assignment requires that he must operate what? Under the full capacity of the Spirit, without any limitation. So therefore, it was on this verdict that he said that because you people are going to operate without any limitation, there are individuals of you who are going to do great things. John chapter 14 verse 12. Let's read that one. You see, the reason why we have to cherish corporate gathering, the reason why we have to respect the flow of the full offices of the church in a local church is because when it is functioning and corporate anointing begins to work, you will notice that the Holy Spirit can never be limited. An individual can be limited, but there's no way the devil can ever, the flow of the Spirit can be limited when there's corporate gathering. And the reason I'm saying this is because there's a pronunciation upon this ministry that we are going to inherit our inheritance, the outermost part of it. It is not a matter of the individuals, it is a matter of a corporate work. The pronunciation that God has pronounced to our Father is connected to a corporate anointing. And I tell you, the moment we start praying together as this ministry, oh Jesus, something is coming. I said something is coming. We have started the fasting. Join the prayer meetings.
you will see that very soon, individually, God is going to strategically place people at certain places. By the time you realize, we have taken over. Because that is what the spirit without measure is about. Cooperatively. We are representing Christ here. He has sent us on the same mandate that the Father sent him. Therefore, the church can never be limited in the operations of the Holy Spirit. There can never be. So, the spirit without measure is also on the church. And it can only operate under what? Corporate anointing. I said it can only operate under what? So, in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, let's read that place. Or John, have you read the John chapter 14? Let's read it. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he would himself be able to do the things that I do. Why? Because he didn't take the anointing away, or he's not intending taking it away. It is within the church. So he can be able to capture an element of it and begin to operate. The things that I do and will do even greater things than this, because I go to the Father. Now this I go to the Father was to tell us that he is with the Father to enforce that that corporate anointing or that spirit, that measure is fully in our action. Do you know that the extent to which people can invade the territory is connected to the corporate unit they belong to? Take a look at all the big men currently, the big fathers in Ghana here, and see how they broke through. I want to show you the spirit without limit is a reality. Archbishop is connected to Reverend Pierre Kofi, Reverend Eastwood. Mention all of them, and you can Bishop, and you can find out that they didn't know themselves, that they were together doing something together. And then that is how the corporate anointing, which brought about the spirit without measure, broke on them. Now you see that they have taken over the country. Have you seen it? We are taking over. Oh, if you're not, if you don't want to join us, can we open the door for you too? I said TMI, all for Christ. Starting this year, the spirit without measure has been activated. Even though we will be individually separated or placed somewhere, some will be at the banking sector, some at the medicine, some at the law, some at the at politics. In some few years, it will make sense. I say it to what? Because the spirit without measure is being released on this ministry. The spirit without measure. I pray for you. You see, because of that spirit without measure, the individual is able to tap into greatness. The individual is able to tap into greatness because there's no measure. So you can tap into what Christ did and begin to flow. Very soon, some of you begin to teach and people said, no, this teaching, it's not that of the scribes. It is this one that comes from God. There's a healing anointing that will fall on some of you. Just as Jesus could command sickness, some of you will begin to raise dead. By the time the world realizes, oh, let's move on. I want to wrap up quickly. Oh, Jesus. The church is a representation of Christ, who has the spirit without measure. In other words, when the fivefold office is fully functional in a corporate gathering, the anointing or the operations of the Holy Spirit within that jurisdiction will be without any limitation. Can we go to that scripture? Okay. I assure you, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 12. Is that where we are? Okay, good. His intention was the perfecting of and the full equipping of what? The saints. Are you following? His consecrated people, that they should do the work of what? Ministering towards building up what? Christ's body, the church. Verse 13. Here's what I like. That it might develop until we all attain oneness in the faith and in the comprehension of the full and accurate knowledge of the Son of God, that we might arrive at really matured manhood, the completeness of personality, which is nothing less than the standard height of Christ's own perfection. This is talking about the church. What was Christ's own perfection? The spirit without measure. So when a local church
is under the full operation of these dimensions of God, the corporate anointing, you begin to see traces of the completeness of Christ. That's why you see that revivals are not born by individuals. Two people start praying, it will add to 3, 4, 5, 6. Then you see that they are already generating some. Do you know, this is the reason why Jesus' last prayer for the church in the book of John 17 was that we should be one. The reason why Jesus' earnest and last prayer for us, because of the corporate anointing to function. When we are not one, we will not see it. You will not see it. And I'm going to prove it to you. You will not see it. So Jesus' prayer for the church was that there will be one. So that the work of the Spirit can never be limited. Because a dimension is captured here. A dimension is captured here. A different dimension here. A different dimension here. When it comes together, you will see the unlimited flow of the Holy Spirit, which is the anointing. And I pray that this will be the testimony of this church. God is going to anoint all of us. And when we come together, people will see the Spirit without measure. The Spirit without what? Do you know that the greatest war the church is fighting is the war of division? The war of division. The most spiritual church that Paul spoke about in the Bible, in his epistle, was the church of Corinth. In fact, it was the church who was very gifted. He admitted that you are gifted, to the extent that Paul was forced to teach on the giftings of the Spirit because the church was operating in giftings. So in other words, the church of Corinth should be a church who should have manifested the full grace, the manifold wisdom of God. But do you know what happened? The first thing Paul mentioned in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 10 to 13 was that there is division among you. When the devil sees the individual, that's why you see that pride is the first thing that comes when you are anointed. If you don't think, you begin to think that you are better than, oh me, I have the prophetic anointing and people want to hear, see, God should prophesy to them, so teaching it here. That division. So you see, they are forming clubs, fan clubs in the church. So if me, my pastor is a prophet, my pastor is the living word, right? My pastor is the living word. The biggest warfare of the church is division. Because if the church is united, I'm going to give you a typical example in the early church, and I'm going to conclude. Today's message concerning anointing is to bring to your mind that you are limited as an individual by the operations of the Holy Spirit. But when we are 2, 3, 4, we establish what we call the corporate anointing, and that is the place where governance is established. When Jesus said that wherever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am, he was not talking about mere gathering, but he was talking about representation. And each of us has a representation of the anointing. So if I have the representation of the anointing as prophetic, and he has the representation of the anointing as an intercessor, and he has the representation of the anointing as a teacher, and we come together, we establish governance. And it is under that authority that he said, whatever you bind. It is not everybody who can bind. It's not every group of people who can bind and loose. Some people, if it binds, it's like the sand. It's the material content for binding is so loose. But there are some people, because of the representation they carry and understanding of the concept of unity, when they come together and they say, hey, the devil backs off. Devil dare not. My brother and I have been taking contrasts that we have been doing. Yes. Don't worry. When the devil is messing up, you just come and sign up to our contract system. Because there's a representation. When we see that it's going above us, we call our father, Pastor Collins, to join the league. And then when he also noticed that we need more strengthening, then he calls Daddy Joe. No matter who you are, you go down. Call Obu, call Joe. Call some of the brothers. Charlie, there's a match. Because we stand as a representation, we understand that corporate anointing can never be. I pray for you. You see, that thing that is happening now in the church, that we want to become superstars, performers, celebrities, and we think that we are without us. See, you, I said you are limited. To what? You see, the best of man is man at his best. But if you want to see the true manifestation of the power of God, the anointing, understand the corporate anointing. That is where the spirit without measure is seen. I said this year, God is about to do something. That will be a confirmation of the book of Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 to 11. And I want to stand on that scripture to show you something. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 to 11. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 10 to 11. So the purpose is that through the church, the complicated many-sided wisdom of God in all its infinite variety and innumerable aspects might now be made known to the angelic rulers and authorities, principalities and powers in the heavenly sphere. Give me the verse 11. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which he has realized and carried out effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. There is multifaceted wisdom of God's dimension that God wants to reveal to the world, but it is only the church, not you. You can never be the church. And if we can show this dimension, because this is the eternal purposes of God, therefore I pray in the name of Jesus, if God is looking for a church or ministry, may God find us as fit enough to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. Every wisdom and manifold blessings of God that is yet to manifest in our generation, I pray you be a holder in the name of Jesus. This year, it is a season of the spirit without measure. The church can never be measured anymore. We shall not be relegated to the back anymore, because it is time that the world will see the manifold wisdom of God. I pray that 2025, the glory that the church has lost, the incapable generation will pass by. I see God raising a generation who will stand in the corporate anointing. Whatever they bind shall be bound, and whatever they lose shall be loser. I declare in the name of Jesus that starting this year 2025, the spirit without measure, the giftings without measure, the authority without measure shall be manifested in the name of Jesus. I declare that the spirit of God will have no limit in our flow in the church. The manifold wisdom in finances shall be seen, in academics shall be seen, in marriage shall be seen, in every aspect of our life it shall be seen, because the spirit of God is without measure. We are operating under the anointing of Christ, and we can never be limited. I declare in the name of Jesus, the church shall regain its glory. The church shall regain the glory in the name of Jesus. Rise to your feet. Today we want to pray for this corporate anointing to start work. Manifold wisdom of God. You cannot have it alone. See, they'll see you, and the wisdom that is coming out of you academically, they'll say, no, this is God. Then they move to the next person and they see finance. So, whoa. Then you see the church begin to confuse and confound the wisdom of the world. It is because of division and individualism in the church. That is why people are not really seeing what God is doing. But this is the season of the spirit without measure. We can no more limit the flow of the Holy Spirit. You see, the world thinks they have seen money. They should wait until God raised billionaires. Oh. Man, the brochure. You don't want to be a billionaire. Okay, let me talk to those people here. I said, the world should wait till they see how billionaires are made. See, the Bible said the wealth and the prosperity of Solomon was so huge that somebody called Queen Sheba has to travel to come and witness it. You are going to Dubai, they should wait. There's a blessing coming on the church. A blessing is coming on the church that the world will travel to see the blessings of the church. I had a testimony of Kenneth, Kennedy Japan.
At first, he had issue with Bishop Dark until he went to Anakazu. And he said, is it one man who built this? He said, henceforth, if any politician tried to say nonsense, I'll deal with the person. He said, this one, no individual can do this. He recognized that God has raised billionaires. He said, billionaires is not in buying castle.
Oh, you don't know.
We have passed that level of prosperity. See, I'm talking of billionaires that whoever attached to you will be blessed. The billionaire spirit is the Abrahamic covenant. So whoever signed into this covenant will be blessed. I said, there's a blessing coming upon you that the poorest man will come into contact with you and will be blessed.
Iron sharpened iron. Lift up your hand. There's an anointing coming.
Some of you, God is going to lift, you see. Also, the oppressions of God in your life, in your field, will be so peculiar that people will say that this one certificate cannot do this. You have to tell us where it is coming from. But we will notice that this one, it is beyond. He said, this one, it is God. They have restricted us. Sometimes they'll try to copy and mimic. But at the end of the day, God will resist them. And they'll agree. I pray for you. Lift up your hand. Kumbela Masakaya. Sobrande Kendo Shete. In the book of Acts chapter 4, verse 32 to 35, the Bible says, and great grace was upon them all. I release great grace. And I want you to lift up your voice and begin to pray for that great grace. That is the spirit without measure. And the Bible says, and fear was upon them all, and none of them lacked. I declare in the name of Jesus. I said, because of the corporate anointing, the spirit without measure, there shall be a move of God into this church. And in this move, people will see the Holy Spirit. Oh, lift up your voice. People will see the Holy Spirit without measure. Oh, Manda Kebrasaya. An anointing is coming on us. Corporate anointing is being released right now. The spirit without measure. The spirit without measure. Oh, Kandevra Satakaya. This is reserved exclusively to the church. That the church shall show forth the manifold wisdom of God, confounding the wisdom of the world. Manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God. This is the eternal purposes of God. I pray that we will be united. I pray that unity will reign in the body of Christ. Adele Mekanda Babo Shatakaya. Ikom Paladina Sata. Katele Brenda Mekom Pelasaya. Oh, Resedeke. Malom Peliano Shanyakaya. Adine Palakondia Sata. Katele Lebresaya. An anointing is flowing. We rise together. We don't rise individually. Listen to me. I want you to connect to this church because something is coming. See, this teaching I'm doing is prophetic teaching. Follow me very well. This was not what I intended to teach this year. You all know. So every day when I come, what I'm doing is a prophetic teaching because I operate in the office as a prophet. So I'm teaching you and I'm showing you to where God is leading us. Be sensitive to join the move. We have entered what there is not going to be measure of the move of the spirit in this ministry. I said we will rise up to God. I'm giving you this prophecy. I said the little one shall be strong. Oh, Kadiva Masun Debrasaya. Lende Mekosaya. Give me Isaiah. Let me get my scripture. Konde Brebebasaya. Lendo Bosede Kerebranda Saya. Let me give you this scripture. Kovaladia Saya. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. Because of the unlimitedness of the Holy Spirit that is going to operate in this church, the least one shall become 1,000. Oh, you are not here. Should I close? I said the least one shall become 1,000. And the small one, a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in its appointed time, and the time is now. I said the least one shall become 1,000. I said the least among us shall be greater, shall be stronger than David. The least among us shall be stronger than David. I said the anointing is coming. I said the least one here shall be 1,000. Another measure, another 1,000. I said another measure, another 1,000. Be ready for another 1,000.
The Bible said he measured another cubit and it was 1,000. No wonder the least have become 1,000. Because the measure of God is of thousands. Every grace you are operating in, every department you are operating in, I said another measure, another 1,000. Another measure, another 1,000. Another measure, another 1,000. Another measure, another 1,000. We are moving, we are shifting. There is no limit upon what we are doing as a church.
Oh, lift up your hands and anointing on you. David, have I found?
Because of the unlimited flow of the Holy Spirit, I said another measure.
Oh, the full stature of Christ shall be seen in this church. The full stature of Christ shall be seen in this church, which is the Spirit without measure. The church shall be respected one more time. Man that lever satakaya. Oh, rasende vele besaya. Gondo mosonde vele kayata. Go back to your office and be an example. Go back to your office and be a different one. Because the Spirit came without measure. Only one man went to a city and turned it upside down. One evangelist went to a city and turned it upside down. I pray for you that the Philip anointing will be greater upon you. Just one Philip entered the place and the whole city of Samaria couldn't stand the move of God. I said one of you is enough for Accra. One of you is just enough for Kumasi. We don't need the thousands, because just the little one, the least one shall become thousand. Oh man, the press who can the Bahaya. Oh, the world watch out. Ghana watch out. And there is a move that is coming. There is a move that is coming. There is a glory that is coming. The Spirit without measure. The corporate anointing is coming. The church shall move into that dimension. Mande Brasiaka.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus.
Glad you stayed. I believe you were blessed. See you some other time. Bye for now.